For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Andy Randy. Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the...
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with...
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic...
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker, as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it, then use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. Thanks for being with us. A little early hump day feels like with everybody. Not everybody. A lot of people having Monday off. NFL season kicks off tomorrow
one
night.
One more day.
Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Falcons kick off on Sunday afternoon on this same very radio station. One of the members of that broadcast team, Dave Archer, will join us at 11:40 this morning, as he will do every single Wednesday throughout Falcons season, as he's done every year since we've been a show. Look forward to talking to Arch in about 40 minutes from right now. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. We're one day closer to the NFL season getting kicked off between the Chiefs and the Ravens, and we're getting closer to the Falcons playing. Excited about that. Got some news coming up out of Pittsburgh with some key injuries. Kind of knew, some of the injuries as far as their offensive guard. He was not going to play when the injury happened. They said he was going to miss some regular season time, and he's their best offensive lineman. So big Cam got him a new payday. That's just out of loyalty. He's still playing at a good level, not like he used to, but he can still play. Being a Pittsburgh Steeler loyal to their organization, they gave him a reward, which was awesome. I just love how sometimes they do the business with the loyalty of their players. You're getting so close to, the expectation. Because last year you said Mark Zeno said the Falcons have expectations.
It was a good way to put it. It was instead of, like excitement, expectation.
No, there's big expectations
even
for
more.
This team.
Yeah, yes. Big time, yes. $100 million guaranteed quarterback expectations. Yes. With other big offseason signings and draft picks and people getting a year older and coaching changeover and all that kind of stuff. It is like, this is how you know it's a little bit more real, because last year it was all kind of here, right? It's like, all right, year three, maybe we'll see what the quarterback can do, but outside of that, there's good players. You don't have to look very far to turn on some of these national shows and listen to the hype that the Falcons are getting.
Yes.
There was a guy on ESPN who's picked the Falcons to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Maybe that'd be awesome, but that wasn't happening last year. That certainly wasn't happening over the last 5 years, because there hasn't been hype like that. So it's great, and hopefully they live up to the hype. Back to what you were talking about, Steelers related, Isaac Seumalo.
I didn't want to butcher his name.
I don't know if I got it right.
And he's a hell of a player.
He is. He's very good.
He's their best offensive lineman.
He's their best offensive lineman.
Yes.
So that's helpful for a team that hasn't been able to sack the quarterback. Also signed Matthew Judon, and Russell Wilson will give you a couple.
Yeah, and then
maybe we can get some sacks on Sunday.
Because I know I did. I watched pretty much all of their preseason game, because I was more curious about the quarterback.
Sure.
They got trouble at the tackle spot. Mm-hmm. Broderick, I talked about that Buffalo game when he got just destroyed. And then they got a rookie from Washington on the other side. And so
Troy Fatani.
There's some trouble up there.
I do know how to say his name.
There's some trouble up there with that offensive line. Now, they still got playmakers. Freiermuth's a really good tight end. We know it's George Pickens rings. They got, who's the second guy? Vance, number two guy.
Van Jefferson, Scotty Miller as of right now, unless they make a signing.
So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting game. And we'll talk more. Like you said, we have Arch on in a little bit, and we'll talk all day Friday. Friday with Twin Peaks, right?
I think that's Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
So make sure y'all come holler at us. But yeah, I mean, that's always a fun thing. We always talk about it. You know, the expectations, the anticipation. We're all 0-0, and now you just you know, we always they're 6 out and 6 in every year. Can the Falcons be one of those 6 in?
Have
or 5 in? They have to.
Have to be.
Like, there's no unless something just kind of catastrophic happens. There's no damn way this team should not be making noise in the NFC. No reason why. And so I anticipate that. I do believe that. And but I can only just say that they got to go play.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's all you know, like you said, everyone's 0-0. I do think there's like different levels of 0-0.
There always
right?
is. Like, but that's not the expectation of all.
Of course not. Fan base in the NFL has people that are talking themselves. Even the Athletic had their ranking of, they do some poll, and they had their ranking of fan base optimism.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess who's the least optimistic fan base? Of the 32 fan bases in the NFL, who would you guess would be the least optimistic in the NFL?
Maybe the Panthers?
No. The Panthers fan base is more optimistic than the Saints. The Saints have the least optimistic fans in the entire league.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And I don't blame them.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying.
And I kind of like it.
And when I speak,
kind of like that they're not feeling good.
We're 0-0. I always come from the player aspect of it because you know, I mean, you're not going to seem like, damn, this is gonna be a long season. Now you can tell early when it's gonna be a long season. You know, what I mean? Like probably like week 3, week 4, you're like,
ooh, boy, that one injury we couldn't sustain.
And that happened. We lost Big O. We lost Big Pace first quarter.
Yeah, Orlando Pace, game. Fairly important
like,
player
like,
on that team.
Oh, blank.
Uh-oh.
This would be a rough one. You know, lost this big dude, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be, like I said, the expectations for this team should be where they are. And I'm not saying Super Bowl and all those things. Because I heard I heard Foxy say it this morning, you know, as far as sleeper teams that could contend for a title. And Kyle Brandt loves Falcons.
There you have it again. I mean, we got NFL Network on one of the TVs, and they had their division winners, and the Falcons are one of them.
They should be. I think they're the best team in this division. Now, Tampa, you just don't know mixed bag with Tampa.
You never know.
And that you don't know if Baker's going to replicate what he did last year. He did lose his coordinator. He's a new head coach up there with
Carolina.
Yep. And he's a guy that's done different things with quarterbacks like him because he did
it with Geno.
He's
done very well with quarterbacks.
He did it with Geno, and Geno had that bounce back year.
Yeah.
It with Baker. Can he help this young boy up in Carolina?
He was with Russell in some of Russell's best years in Seattle, too.
And so how does that, you know, that turnover and everything go on from there? But, yeah, I mean, the expectations for the Falcons should be there.
Yeah, and they should be. And there's a little bit of Falcons news this morning as well. They converted $11.25 million of Jesse Bates' 2024 salary into a signing bonus. That frees up $7.5 million of cap space for the upcoming season. Now, they had to do it just to get under the threshold of week one. So now they're 6.8 under the cap. Because apparently with everything that they had done and all that with signings and stuff, they were a little bit over the number. So they had to do that to get under the number. But now they're about $7 million under.
Yes.
And they have an open roster spot.
Keep it there.
You keep that open roster spot. Again, this we talk about this every single year, but post week one, anybody that gets signed, that contract is non-guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So you bring him in.
Yep.
If he plays great, awesome. Pay him. It is what it is. If he comes in and doesn't play well, you can move on from him, whatever, and try again with another guy or whatever internally. But, yeah, wouldn't be surprised if Falcons use some of that money because there's still some guys out there. Like, there's still veteran guys in the secondary that probably won't be on teams week one. So you go out there week one, you see what it looks like against Pittsburgh and Russell Wilson in that offense, and, oh, maybe you feel good about it.
Makes a lot of sense.
Maybe the offense feels good and you can sort of stash that money, or that defense feels good and you can stash the money away for something else later in the season, or maybe you feel like you need to sign one of those guys, whatever. But you got a little extra money this morning thanks to Jesse Bates.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what he is one of the guys, if you're going to restructure, you restructure him. Just like they did Chris Lindstrom, those guys that are going to be here, still playing at a high level and have a, you know, multiple years that they're going to play on this current contract. So you can kind of want to move some of their money around. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense to not have that, to have that open spot just because of everything you just said. Because there's
that's
always
the Heineke spot, right? They traded Heineke and haven't filled it.
And that's always a spot where, like you said, after week one, you see what you got sometimes, or maybe somebody goes down, unfortunately, and you got to fill that void.
You never know.
Somebody, you might lose a starter. You got to figure out who can we get in here and get up, caught speed, first of all, and get in our system. Hopefully he can contribute. We get him in there on Monday. Hopefully he can contribute by Sunday. And that's usually how it goes after a week one. But I think everybody's, we mentioned a little bit yesterday, all the guys that they brought in should be ready to roll. Like, you know, Bergeron, he should be ready to go. Not Bergeron, I'm sorry. I forgot the pass rusher name already.
Oh, Judon.
Judon.
Yeah.
Judon should be ready to go.
Hopefully Sunday. Bergeron's also ready to go.
So he should be ready to go Sunday. You know, Simmons should be ready to go Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it is not one of those things where you got to pitch count and all those things. Now, Judon, he's going to get time because he's going to be in a rotation and everything like that, how they do. But, yeah, he should be ready to roll. This whole team should, I mean, no, you know, worried about anybody getting injured right now as far as everybody's coming in 100% as close as you can.
Yeah. And as we're talking about the Steelers dealing with some of that stuff, a lot of teams dealing with guys banged up here and there.
Yeah, the Falcons should be 100%.
Knock on something, wouldn't.
Right. Today, Wednesday, today is the day you put in the game plan. The first, second down, short yardage, all of those things. This is the big work day as far as getting ready for any week of the NFL season. And you progress on the Tuesday, Thursday, and before you know it, man, you're riding around and getting it. You know what I mean, you're fighting the Atlanta traffic to get to the stadium, and it's showtime. It's showtime at 1 o'clock. We all know how this team and how this fan base travels and all those different things. So, I mean, it's going to be what it is. But, I mean, you can always – I've been in a situation where we took the terrible towels out of the game.
Yeah. It's a very simple solution. Yeah, just beat them.
Those towels will be – they're going to be waving.
Yeah.
But when you kicking them in their face –
Yeah, play better than them.
They play better, and all them towels will
even
be dropped.
Even Steelers fans get quiet when their team's losing.
Exactly.
All right?
And that has to be the case here. Because last time I was in that stadium, first time I went to a football game after I retired, went to when the Steelers came here. And I was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they travel.
They travel. I mean, I played home games against the Steelers. I was like, as a player, you're like, damn, it's a lot of them. But when you're actually sitting there and watching, like, damn.
Yeah, they're loud.
They loud as hell.
They're loud.
Yeah.
Those towels are waving around.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, one other piece of Falcons news. They signed Nathan Peterman to the practice squad. So I guess we have to put a hiatus on making fun of Nathan Peterman for a while.
No, we don't.
Oh, we don't?
Okay. No, we don't have to make it.
All right.
Oh, Nate, how does Mike Bell say it?
Peterman.
just hopefully that you never have to see him in a Falcons uniform.
Pray.
Just pray.
Every night.
Yes.
Every night.
Every
the
night.
The last thing.
That we do not have to see.
Pray Nathan for your Peterman. Kids, your family, all that stuff you're normally praying for, and then say one last one. We'll never have to see Nathan Peterman in a Falcons uniform.
Well, maybe the preseason.
No.
You don't want to
see him? That's a year from now. I don't even want him to be here then.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to root against a guy getting a paycheck.
No,
you know
never
what I mean?
That.
Catch a practice squad paycheck. I got nothing against that.
Yeah, man.
But,
that was just funny because we were just talking about him.
Well, we make fun of him every year.
Yeah. Because there's rightfully so. Yeah.
Welcome to the city, Nathan.
Glad to have you, fella.
Glad to have you.
Glad to have you around, fella.
Glad to have you here, Nate. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending. Another incredible Chris Sale performance last night. Whit Merrifield, furious.
Dude.
Furious.
Of all the spots.
Yeah, that was pretty scary.
Yeah.
And also, Atlanta United made a move that people have long wanted them to make. They finally did it. We'll talk about what's next in the front office right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
For what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Is your heating and cooling system aging? Reliable's got you covered for just $29.99 a month. No deductibles or service fees, just coverage. Call to find out more.
2-2. And there is strike three, and there is strikeout number 200 this year for Chris Sale, the first lefty to record 200 Ks in a season in franchise history.
I have a job to do, and quite honestly, there's 29 teams that don't give a about any of the strikeouts I've had all year. And whoever I'm facing in 5 days from now is coming for me. And so for me, I don't want to get lost in looking at something that really just doesn't matter right now, and it doesn't count for anything towards the season. It doesn't help us get more wins. It doesn't.
What does do that?
It's you know, a shiny coin that you can't cash in. So, again, I don't want to sound unappreciative. I do appreciate it. I respect the guys before me that have done this, and I don't want to sound, you know, ungrateful for that. But, again, I just know that I have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do, and there's really only one goal in playing this game and starting this season, and that's winning a World Series.
Chris Sale sounds like a college football coach.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Nothing matters except the next thing. All right. Well, but it's cool that you did that.
I'm happy for you.
150 years of history in the Braves franchise. No left-handed pitcher has ever had 200 in a season.
I can't believe that when I saw that yesterday. I was looking like, what, Glavine they doing?
Some pretty great pitchers have been left-handed in Braves history. Yeah, Tom Glavine, closest he ever got was 192.
Okay.
In 91, the year that he won the Cy Young.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Spahn. I think his highest year was 191 back in the 40s or something like that.
Wow.
Max Fried's not even come all that close because Fried doesn't pitch enough.
No.
Like, Fried's never even gone over 200 innings in a season. 185, I think, is his record. Like, you go back, I was looking at some of this stuff because I was like, that's kind of crazy that Chris Sale's the first one in Braves history to have 200 strikeouts. And it's like, Glavine just wasn't really a strikeout pitcher, but he did pitch enough innings to where he got close. Warren Spahn wasn't really, I guess, a strikeout pitcher either. This man pitched 300 innings a couple of times in his career and got close. And then Fried, if Fried would pitch more innings or stay healthy,
maybe
he probably would go over 200 in a season as well because he's been close once. But, yeah, Chris Sale's having an insane season.
Yes.
And that's fine for him to keep that mentality. If that's what it takes to stay sharp and go out there every 5 days and be amazing, then do that. But he leads baseball in strikeouts. He leads baseball in wins. 206 strikeouts on the season now, so he's only going to add to it in the final month. And if he doesn't fall off the rails, which there's no reason to think that he will, he's going to win the Cy Young.
Oh, yeah.
He's which is just incredible.
Yeah, he has been so consistent, so looking like himself. And the best strikeout yesterday was the one that one when he threw that thing like 97 in.
Oh, yeah.
After my man.
After Solaire.
It's always Solaire and Sale.
I looked it up.
Yes. It's like, always Solaire and Sale.
Does Solaire hate him?
I don't know.
I wondered.
But it's,
I looked it up. I was like, did Sale hit him in the head or something?
Right.
They've faced each other 16 times as opponents.
Uh-huh.
Solaire was 2-for-14, and Sale did hit him once.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was intentional. I don't know if he charged the mound. But it feels like more than just coincidence at this point.
That damn wall. That damn wall.
Like, Horace Solaire doesn't like Chris Sale.
That's
my take.
Solaire don't like that damn wall.
No, he really doesn't like the wall. Like,
and I'm looking at it as like, uh-oh, he don't see that he about to hit this wall. And he almost had it.
Yeah. But then, like, it's one thing physically to make mistakes out there because he does that. He's not a good outfielder.
Right.
It's another thing to not know what to do when the ball's wedged. Just throw your hands up. It's a double. Throw your hands up. It's a double. It's a ground rule double, and they'll put the guy back at second base.
Man.
They'll do it. He doesn't do it, and then he's on third base. And you know what Sale said? I don't care.
Yep.
Strikeout, and inning over.
That strikeout, though, that last one, that was like Solaire, whoo. Like, he hummed that damn. He threw that damn ball so hard. But yeah, I was laughing. I laughed so hard. And I had to rewind it. I was like, let me see this again.
Yeah, it's adventurous.
Him and that
there,
wall, man. I swear, him and that wall. Michael Harris with another great catch at the wall.
Michael Harris is equally as good at center field as Jorge Soler is bad at right.
Yes.
They're the extreme ends of the spectrum.
An unbelievable play. But the most important thing, they got the victory. Offense still, whatever. But they got the three.
Yep.
My biggest thing was stop hitting our guys. I mean, Whit Merrifield, I mean, to get hit in the head. It's just most terrible. But the one place where your helmet isn't protecting the back of
your head.
Well,
then the helmet, like, fell off because he was ducking so quickly.
He hit him right there in the back of the head, and he was hot.
Here's Whit Merrifield after the game, furious.
It's ridiculous. The way where the game's at right now, it's just ridiculous. We lost Riley. We almost lost Mike. We almost lost Darnell in a span of 2 or 3 weeks. The way pitchers are throwing now, there's no remorse or the regard for throwing up and in. The guys are throwing as hard as they can, and they don't care where the ball goes.
Okay.
And it's just they can't. You can't hit a guy anymore back. There's no fear that, if I hit this guy, our guy's going to get hit. That's not in the game anymore. Pitchers don't have to hit anymore, so they don't have to stand in the box. And the teams are bringing pitchers up They don't know where the ball's going. They throw 100 miles an hour, so we're like, all right, we'll see if he can get the guys out. Just set up down the middle and throw it as hard as you can. And it's driving me nuts, and I hate where the game's at right
go
now with that.
Fight him.
Yeah, I mean,
go.
There's one
fight
thing
him.
You can do.
Go fight him.
There's only one thing you
I
can do.
I know it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen. Go fight him. Yeah. Because, I mean, Witt was hot yesterday. You saw his mouth when he was talking.
Oh, he's furious.
Everything. Furious. I'm thinking he's going to turn left. That's all I kept thinking. Like, oh, he really mad. Like, and oh boy, I mean, he didn't even say sorry. I know that's not what he's supposed to do.
Yeah,
whatever,
you're
like
not
that.
Supposed to,
you're not
I guess.
Supposed to do all that. And
I would.
I get all that. But yeah, old boy was like, turn left, Witt. Just turn left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just turn left. At least make it look like you finna go do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, and then all the bullpen brothers come out and everything. And then y'all just walk away. But don't do something. Don't just walk. And just walk to the damn dugout and just go on about your business. Say something.
Not only that, walk to the dugout, get taken out of the game, go get CAT scanned, whatever, because you got hit in the neck.
Yeah, man.
And then say that your life was on the line. Go fight him.
Go fight him.
I'm with you. I know. Yeah. And again, like, he's right about everything he said.
Oh, everything.
Like, pitchers have no idea where the ball's going.
Everything.
I don't know what baseball can do about it. Like, obviously, the importance of velocity as far as pitchers go, and I mean, it's where the game's at right now. But he's right. They don't know where it's going.
Mm-mm.
The Braves have been suffered from injuries and near injuries, like he talked about, multiple times over the last month because of this crap. But again, like, what are you going to do? You can't tell guys to throw less hard.
Nope, and you can't. Like I said, you can't. They really don't try to take out the revenge pitching, hitting
right.
somebody. And he's right. The pitchers don't pitch. Bat anymore.
Nope.
And so I mean, there's no accountability.
So go
for
punch
that.
Him in the neck.
So go punch him in the head.
Yeah.
All right.
How you feel about Witt charging the mound?
I don't know. All I know is if Witt talk in mannerisms when he's mad is like him fighting, I would love to have seen it.
Okay.
Because Witt was talking that talk and mm-hmm. everything, and he was talking that talk in that clip right there. And I don't know how it is with them hands, but again,
you never know.
Just make it look. Make everybody come out the dugout in the bullpen at least. You know what I mean? Something. Like, that man just blasted you in the back of the head.
Yep.
All right? Didn't, because what's the thing over in Japan when on Mr. Baseball? Tip your hat if you hit him. Tip your hat.
Just
an acknowledgement.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yep.
He didn't do that.
No, he didn't.
No.
He didn't. Well, maybe Witt'll be in the lineup today, and I don't know. Maybe they can get revenge. I don't know. They don't do that anymore.
No.
Probably what'll happen is another person will get hit and nothing will come
Michael
of it.
Almost got hit by that dude.
I know.
Yeah.
It happens every game.
Michael's next
These guys don't know.
Dude almost hit Michael.
Just live arms. No control. Just let it fly. All right. Here's Bobby Wilder. He's the head coach of Tennessee Tech. They're playing Georgia this weekend. And this is just honest. This is just an honest answer to what he's thinking about playing Georgia.
You watch the way he coaches on the sideline. It's very detailed. You watch their sideline. Everything's detailed. Everything's purposeful. Does a really good job with communication with young people. And that's an exceptional football program. If I was being honest, I would tell you that I'm not thrilled to be headed to Athens, Georgia this weekend. So I'll be dishonest and say I'm very excited to be playing a game in Sanford Stadium in front of 93,000.
I ain't thrilled about this weekend.
Yeah, nobody is.
I don't want to see this
Nobody's
crap.
Looking forward
and
to this game.
The thing about it is you know why? Of course, I'm going to watch the whole damn game because I watch every second play, everything. But the one thing about this is this right here, Andy. Because my wife don't know nothing too much about the ins and outs of football. And she's like, well, who does Georgia play? I said, Tennessee Tech. She's like, oh, they're the Volunteers. That should be a good game. I was like, no, Tennessee Tech. She said, so that means that we can do something around 3:30. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, why didn't you just say yeah?
I didn't think that she was going to remember that part of the equation. Like, yeah, oh, we could do something about 3:30 then. And so I'm just like, I don't want to see.
You knew where it was going.
I don't want
right?
to. No, I did not
oh, you
actually.
Didn't. Okay, you didn't.
I didn't. I don't want to see Georgia beat the hell out of Tennessee Tech. Am I going to watch it? Yes. But just, I don't want to see this. Look at it. I ain't never in my life heard no coach say that before playing a team.
Yeah, I don't want to play him.
I don't want to play him.
It's not going to be fun.
Yeah.
We're not going to learn anything. We're just going to get hurt. Now, we get a bunch of money for it,
yeah.
which is good.
Yeah.
But no, we're not looking forward
no.
to it. There's, like, iron sharpening iron is not what's going to be happening
no.
on Saturday.
Georgia's going to be.
Iron's going to be cutting
now, my thing
a
is
team
this.
In half.
Because Kirby has done a bet. He does this with these teams. Like, when we're up, like, 42-0 at halftime. We usually win the game 49-0.
Yeah, he takes the foot off the gas, puts in
he's not
the
like
walk
Lane
on,
Kiffin
stuff
and
like
put
that.
76
yeah.
on you and everything.
Yep, yep, yep.
Cash is going to have 3 touchdowns.
Oh yeah,
Cash going to have 3 touchdowns.
Hey, Cash scored a touchdown in a big game.
I know. So Cash going to have 3. I think that.
What about London Humphreys?
London.
What?
He might have one.
2024 continues to be a strong year, my friend.
He might have one. And I'm trying to think. Backup quarterback, he'll have two touchdowns.
Okay. We get a little Gunnar Stockton.
Gunnar Stockton's going to throw two TDs.
All right.
Yeah.
I like that. Nobody wants to watch this.
Watch this crap?
No.
I'm figuring out, like.
They don't even have a line. There's not even a line on the game. There shouldn't be.
Watch this crap.
It's a 2 o'clock start, too, which is like.
In Athens, this is weird.
ESPN Plus, SEC Network Plus. I mean, it's.
Yeah. When you got to be on both the pluses.
Yeah, when you're on only on an app.
Yeah, you're on both the pluses. Are you the number one team
when
in
you're
America?
The number one team in the country and your game's at 2 o'clock and you're only available on an app, that's how you know you're playing exactly. Tennessee Tech.
Exactly. I want to see that, man.
Good for Donna, though. She's like, oh, Tennessee Tech? Oh, that you don't need to see that whole game. 3:30, that'll be right around halftime.
Yeah, man.
What are you guys going to do?
I ain't doing nothing. I don't know yet.
There's other good games that start at 3:30.
I know.
I really aren't.
No. I mean,
you really aren't. Baylor, Utah.
What's the best one of the weekend? I know Texas is going up to.
Yeah, Texas, Michigan, but that's noon.
That's noon. But is that the best game?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
The NC State Tennessee game's interesting for Saturday night.
Maybe
that might be
interesting.
That might be an interesting game.
Arkansas, Oklahoma State.
Tech going up to Syracuse.
Tech and Syracuse for sure.
Tech going up to Syracuse.
Conference game
is a very interesting one also. But yeah.
No, but Iowa State, Iowa, obviously our next guest is going to care a great deal about that one.
Yeah, man.
Dave Archer.
The Iowa, what is it?
Cy-Hawk.
Iowa Rail Splitter. Or something.
Nope.
I almost forget his name.
I think Idaho Rail Splitter may have been his high school mascot.
Oh, okay.
But he was an Iowa State Cyclone.
You know, watching Anthony Beck's son Rocco play quarterback. He played really good last week also. But yeah, watching him play is good. I know that didn't Iowa put up like a 40 burger last weekend?
They scored 40 points.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. Trying to scroll. App State Clemson. Obviously, that'll be a big one at our house.
I saw somewhere where.
Boise State, Oregon. Maybe sneaky good.
That game's at Clemson, right?
It is.
I saw something where they were like, there's this recruit. He's a kind of a big deal. And he's deciding between. He's going to be at the game. And he's deciding between Clemson and App State.
Huh.
I was like, oh.
That probably doesn't happen much.
No. I saw that. I was like, huh.
No offense to App State. You know, I'd never mean any offense to App State, but like that's kind of a sign of where Clemson's at right now.
I was like, oh.
Like guys are choosing between those two?
Huh.
Damn.
Very interesting.
Huh. Well, there you have it. All right, we'll come back. Dave Archer is going to join us. Our first of every Wednesday conversations with Arch, as it is week one in the NFL season. We'll talk Falcons with Dave Archer coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I mean, you know, Boston's playing.
Boston!
You know what that means. Must be football season.
Yes.
Must be Wednesday.
Yes.
It must mean Dave Archer is on the line to talk some Falcons football with us. Arch.
What up?
How are you,
man?
What
up, Dave?
Fellas, welcome back, man. Ready to roll. Let's do this.
Yeah, no doubt. Looking forward to it. Week one, obviously Sunday afternoon right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You and Wes on the call. We got pregame starting at 11. Wade Ford tailgate show before that. So it's all ramping up. Let me ask you this, because I'm making the assumption that you're feeling confident, as everyone is. But when's the last time you felt this confident about a Falcons team headed into week one?
Yeah, that's a great question, Andy. I probably would have to go back to the playoff teams, probably go back to maybe coming out of that 17 season, you know, loss to the Eagles in the playoffs after going to the Super Bowl the year before. You felt like you had some pieces in place. We were better defensively. Remember in 17, I think I was a top 10 defense. First time Matt Ryan had a top 10 defense. So probably going to the 18 season. The thing that's different about this, guys, is there's so much newness to it that I think it enhances your heightens your awareness of, hey, this could be a special year just because there's some unknowns about the team. How's Kirk Cousins going to adapt with the new defense? You got a new head football coach. So there was some of what we had in going into 18 was kind of rehashing or redoing what we'd done the two previous years. This is such new stuff, and you've got a couple guys you're really excited about, whether it's Judon coming off the edge or it's Cousins, you know, taking us back to those days of Ryan throwing the ball over the yard to guys. So I think that's part of maybe heightened it even more than maybe the 18 season.
Dave, since you've been up there, you watch all the practices and the reps and all those different things. What's going to be outside of Kirk Cousins being the quarterback, what's going to be different about this offense and this offensive philosophy that you've seen so far in training camp and stuff?
Well, I think that what's going to be different is going to be, I mean, you're talking about, Randy, from last year different, or are you just talking about what things we've seen like in preseason?
Yeah,
well, from what we've seen in preseason, obviously everything's going to be different because they're going to expand. You know as well as I do, we've seen the tip of the iceberg of what they can do from different personnel groups, different guys on the field, handing guys the ball differently, you know, distributing the ball and the decision-making Kurt's going to make. I think the game will center around, as much as they want to run the football, we're going to probably throw the ball, I don't know, 7 to 10 times more per game, I would assume. That's going to create a different feel to it. You're throwing the ball on first down a little bit more than we read last year. I don't know how many times it seemed like about 65% of the time we turned around and handed the football to somebody last year, last couple seasons. I think it could be flipped around the other way. You could be throwing the ball, you know, 55-60% of the time on first down just to create down and distance situations that are positive for you. And that'll be paramount in this game because of the way these guys play defense mm-hmm. and the two edge rushers that they have. Mm-hmm. If you don't stay in manageable third down situations or get first downs on second and first down, then you're gonna have a long day because those two guys on the edge can rush, and Hayward's pretty good coming from the inside, even though his pockets are heavy with all that money that he's paid.
Yeah, man.
We're so, just talking about that.
This front seven's pretty good. Patrick Queen's is a really good rusher from the inside as well as a linebacker. He can run and hit and go sideline to sideline, but he's a good blitzer, too. We saw that in Baltimore. So this is a formidable defense. You know, they were plus 11 in the giveaway takeaway, which was one of the top three in the league. I mean, Minkah Fitzpatrick has owned the football and has come in his area. So this is going to be a really tall task for this new offense in Zach Robinson against a really good defense.
Dave Archer joining us here talking some Falcons football ahead of week one against the Steelers coming up on Sunday afternoon. And you detailed a lot of it right there with maybe some of the tendencies being a little bit different on offense. Obviously, new OC, Kirk Cousins being here. If there's an individual on offense that you think stands to benefit the most from playing alongside Kirk Cousins, who do you think that'll be?
I think it's got to be, and I'm going to go right into Randy's wheelhouse here, it's got to be Kyle Pitts. I think that Kyle Pitts is a guy that I've been saying it for, three or four weeks. I'm sure Randy's been saying the same thing based on what he's seen and the way aggressive as Kyle's been in practice and kind of what seems to be a nice little bond that those two, you know, started when he first got in the building. I think Kyle senses, obviously, you're seeing all these guys get paid, and you can't help but see that as a player. That if he has a monster year this year, then he's going to be in line to get one of those kind of – and that's not necessarily your only motivation, but it's certainly part of it, you know. And then all of a sudden you start thinking about playoffs. They've never been in the playoffs, these young players that are here, he and London and obviously Bijan. But I think Kyle is a guy that, based on what Zach's going to do with him, move him around, on the move, lined up outside, inside, in the backfield, I think he has a chance to have a huge year.
You think the new addition, especially on defense day, they'll be ready to, I know they'll be ready to roll, but I'm talking about like a full boat. I'm talking about Judon and Simmons and those guys. You think it's, you know, you want to maybe try to ease them in, or is it like it's go time right now for them?
I think you got to go, Randy. It'd be interesting to hear what you have to say about, you know, this is an offensive line for Pittsburgh that's in flux mm-hmm. right now. They've got some young guys on the offensive line. They've got injuries on the offensive line. They've got a new quarterback that played kind of half the preseason. He was kind of in a battle the whole time, and so he was uncertain as to what was going on with the other guy. So, man, I would come out and I'd get after him. You know, I'd be bringing pressures. I'd do all sorts of stuff. I think you trust the secondary. You got those two safeties back there you love. I think you love one of the corners. You got to obviously Hughes is going to have to step up, and he offers step up in those areas. But I don't know. Are you overly scared of the Steeler wide receiver group? Mm-mm. I mean, you like Freiermuth, the tight end. You like Pickens. He's a big-time player, but that's about it, you know. And so as far as name recognition, now somebody may burst on the scene and be that new guy, but still I think you make them go prove that they can win in the National Football League, and don't let Pickens make a play, right? You know, and let's see somebody else make a play.
What do you expect the breakdown to be as far as, obviously, Russell Wilson's the starter, but it sounds like Justin Fields is going to get some snaps. I don't know how many that's going to be, but with Arthur Smith there calling plays, like, what do you expect that to look like on Sunday?
Well, it's going to be odd, Andy, because you can't just bring Fields in to run the football.
Right.
Okay, so if he comes in the game, there's got to be a package of plays where he's able to throw it too. And let's face it, other than a few games in his career, he's had some disappointing moments when he's put the ball in the air, and he's been dynamic running the football. So how does that look, the divide of what you're going to do? Now, is it the first game of the year, so you can get away with, okay, every time I bring Justin Fields in the game, we run the ball. And let's say it's five or six times in the game, okay, and we've got a certain way we want to. Maybe it's a bootleg with a run-pass option, but we want to get his ability out on the edge and his explosiveness on the edge. You can get away with that in week one. So that's probably what we'll see. It'll be a little bit more of a combined scenario, but as you get further into the season, which we don't necessarily have to worry about, they're going to have to be a little bit more diverse as to what he does when he comes in the game. Again, you don't have to worry about that in week one because there is no book on him, right? So I think it's going to be probably – I think you're going to probably see him, I don't know, 5 to 7 times in the game. Mm-hmm. I don't think – if Russell's playing pretty well, I'm not sure you want to pull him out of the game. Right. But, you know, these will be discussions that he, Smith, and the two quarterbacks and certainly Mike Tomlin, they'll sit down and say, okay, this is what we're doing here. I would assume that they're going to be pretty transparent with those guys. So nobody gets their feathers ruffled because they're getting pulled out of the game.
Dave, how do you think that, especially as the season is just starting and everything like that, and you're like that, these guys have not had a lot of contact to the ground and everything? How do you think they go about the distribute of the carries between Tyler and Bijan?
Well, I think Bijan's the featured guy. I think Tyler's obviously that. You know, you go maybe a couple series, and if Bijan sees the ball a couple, you know. Maybe, and I don't know, an inordinate amount of time in the first couple series, that then you're going to get Tyler in the game. And you want to get him in the game early on anyway to get him up to speed. Because
right.
At some point, if something happens to somebody, he's going to need to come in and hit the ground running. So, pun intended. So, but I think the divide will be probably 60-40, 65-35 probably. They're going to want Bijan, and Bijan's going to be more of a featured runner. And I know he ran for 900 yards last year and all that kind of stuff. I think he's going to be a little bit more of a running back as opposed to a gadget guy. You know, I think they'll use him in some things, but I think you're going to see him, they're going to turn and hand him the ball.
Without a roster, Dave, when they go shine, like, they're going to put a defensive lineman back there, right? Or I'm thinking because you know, Algiers is a big back, but I don't think I want him leading on, like, short yardage goal line plays.
I would agree. I would agree on that. And Dwelly's not a big tight end either. Right. So he's your third tight end. So it's not like you have like that blocking tight end other than Warner. So does Warner slide into the backfield off the edge? I don't think you want to do that either, Andy. It's going to be extra offensive linemen who are going to step in the game. And I'm sure they'll rep that here this week to get, because we didn't see that really much in the preseason. So they'll rep some of these offensive linemen. I don't know if they'll go to a full back scenario, but if they do, I wouldn't mind Ruka Roro leading me through the hole or somebody like that. Huh?
Sure. Did you guys see the player that the Chargers designated as a fullback?
Yes.
He's a D lineman.
Yes. That's from that old from the Baltimore Ravens, the big guy.
So they brought Ricard, him,
Ricard, yeah. Yeah.
No, you got to go back to the Fridge, man. The Fridge was the first guy they put in the backfield. That was back in the mid '80s. They put the Fridge disintegrate whoever stepped in the hole.
Dave, did he ever block anybody, or was he always getting the ball?
No, he ran into a few people.
Okay.
He ran into a few people.
Okay,
and, you know, when you get a refrigerator falls on you, you're going to move.
Yeah, so, you don't want that. You don't want that.
He blocked it, but he became a cult hero because they started handing the ball and they threw him a pass and all that kind of stuff. And then I think he became divish, almost like a tight end, like a Randy McMichael. He became very diva-like. He wanted the ball. He didn't want to block anybody.
Arch, great to hear your voice, man. We look forward to talking every Wednesday.
Appreciate it, Dave.
I love it, guys. Great to be with y'all. Take care.
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons analyst, obviously former Falcons quarterback. He will be one half of the broadcast team coming up on Sunday afternoon with Wes Durham. 1 o'clock kickoff. Pregame at 11, Wade Ford tailgate show at 9.
It's on.
It's on. We're there.
It's on.
We're talking to Dave Archer on Wednesday about what's going to happen on Sunday with the Falcons.
Yeah,
it's
man.
On.
But it's crazy because we were talking a lot, and he answered a lot the same way that we answered the questions as far as the Justin Fields thing. Mm-hmm. You just can't bring him in and run the ball.
No, because then if you tip your hand. Everybody knows what you're going to do.
I know we had fun with the whole fake punt thing and everything like that. But, yeah, if you're going to bring him in. But if Russell's playing well, why would you do that? That's the only thing that I understand like that. Also,
you got to have a real feel for the right moment to do it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I know that Mike Tomlin, you know, he's a Hall of Fame coach and everything like that. He's never been in a situation where he's going to have to manage these two quarterbacks.
You know, he wasn't the coach when Cordell Stewart.
Cordell Stewart was there and everything. So it'll be an interesting mix. But, I mean, I know Rod's working on everything. You know, say no stone overturned or unturned or whatever.
All the stones are going to be turned over.
All of them, dude.
Multiple times.
Yes. Yeah, because that's the last thing you want to do, especially week one, because you don't have a lot of film on Russell and
I'm really, really interested to see how they play it. Really interested.
I think they are going, and Dave says it all the time, I think they're going to try to shorten their neck. I think they're going to get big personnel
absolutely,
and run the football at the foul.
And they should.
And they should.
Now, their offensive line
but the thing about it
shaky,
is
shaky.
It's shaky pass blocking.
Yeah, better going forward.
They are a better team. Broderick is better going forward.
Makes sense.
All right, so that's
good.
So
tight
ends. You got to win on first down. On offense and defense, because of everything you said about those pass rushes.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, because TJ Watt, man.
Now he's a good player. TJ Watt's a good player. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll get into an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Just quietly, just business like Patrick Surtain, highest paid defensive back ever.
Love it.
No fuss, no stress, a lot of money. We'll come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.